You're gonna sit here with what? So your fake f***ing bullshit with your fake joke clown town band behind you, and you're gonna tell me that it was true? Like, please, save it.
Coming up on the Vanderpump Rules After Show.
None of us are getting any closure, so I wrote a song about it.
I thought he would maybe want to cover it, one of his shows.
Can you, like, get some new material?
I'm sorry, bro. Tom's getting upset with us while Raquel is dismissing everyone else's friendships.
She says that they were just acquaintances. There's really no world in which we weren't close unless you were just being fake the whole time.
She also said on the podcast that she was never in love with you.
I felt like it would have been nice to at least give it a shot, considering how bad we f***ed up our lives.
Are you mentally there to have a child?
If Jack spent more time focusing on his own marriage, then he probably would hopefully stop focusing on everyone else, and his wife would get the attention she deserves.
You're not shopping for the man, you guys, just the sperm.
How this baby is conceived was much more pleasurable exactly. than how Ocean was conceived.
Exactly.
It was way bigger.
The Vanderpump Rules After Show starts right now.
After the podcast dropped, you went to visit Tom at band practice.
There was some tip-top, like, there was, like, he was like, well, it was true love, you know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, when it's true love, and I was like, Tom, like, just shut the f*** up. It wasn't true love, brother. You guys were f***ing boning in the bathroom at 4:30 in the morning while you're f***ing, like, dreading the fact that you have to go upstairs to bed with Ariana, so you have to get your dick wet one last time. Like, that's what your love was. So don't f*** with me on that.
I don't believe you guys were ever in love. I think it was fest for 6 months.
Dude, we would sit there for 5 hours.
You would
talk.
Get horny, extra horny, because you weren't
you
getting it from
dude.
Ariana.
You have
so you
no
like
idea.
Go downstairs and get your
you
really
have no idea what you're talking about.
But it's nothing we couldn't see from the beginning. It was pure and utter just a f***ing lusty fest. I mean, for God's sakes. She said that on a f***ing podcast. She f***ing said that.
She also said on the podcast that she was never in love with you.
Oh, I know, I heard that.
Right, and that, like, she got with you because she wasn't quite over me.
Then she just messed up everybody's lives for no reason. That's kind of what that seems like to me. That's another, like, punch in the face, I feel like, that if she's gonna go and say that. That's really messed up to me. Because at least if they were in love and something would have came from it, it wouldn't have been so crazy, and it's crazy no matter what, but, you know, what if they ended up, like, getting married and having kids one day? It would have been a whole different kind of situation
right.
A little bit.
I still stand behind what I said of, I think Sandoval portrayed a very different picture for her, and I think he made her buy into, like, what their reality could be like, where it was all actually just an illusion. And the only reason that resonates with me is because I'm pulling from my own experience. And it could be completely different, but just what she was saying, I'm like, I understand that. I don't think you really did love him. I think you fell in love with what he was making you think could...
Like, fell in love with the idea.
Fell in love with the idea.
And Lord knows what you told her about your relationship with Ariana upstairs. But I promise, it's probably sickening and, like, horrible. Because after you were done s***ing on your relationship with Ariana, you crawled literally up the stairs into the bed with her, and kissed her goodnight and woke up and said, I love you, and did it all over again for months. You're gonna sit here with what? So your fake f***ing bullshit, your fake joke clown town band behind you, and you're gonna tell me that it was true? Like, please, save it.
I have a question. Where's Rachel now? And have you talked to her?
No. Honestly, it's for the best.
Right.
In that moment, I felt like it would have been nice to at least give it a shot, considering all that we went through, how bad we f***ed up our lives. You know, but you know what? I'm better off, way better off. I hope she is. I assume she is. I wish her the best of luck and good riddance.
There was a podcast that came out with...
So annoying, bro.
...a former member
so
of this group.
I'm so over talking about podcasts. Like, it should be unallowed.
I mean... There's nothing wrong with, like, saying whatever you want to say, but there were just a number of things that were easily refutable that were said that I was like...
This is called a person living in Delulu land.
Yeah, Delulu.
She said I had, like, some, like, savior complex and that our friendship was equally beneficial. I think the way that she tried to spin helping me out with my cat for 3 weeks... and doing my podcast when she literally came to me and asked to be on my podcast with her whole thing of notes written of things she wanted to say and she wanted her voice to be heard after her breakup with James.
Oh God, she said that to me a few years ago as if having you was like having Beyonce, like f off. We needed a filler, bitch, and you just happened to be free because you're always free.
Raquel needed a place to live and I was like, you know what? You can have my apartment, watch my cat for 3 weeks and then I'll pick her up in a few weeks. And I thought she was only staying till the end of February.
We felt sorry for her because she gives off this kind of like, help me, you know, poor me. And so we wanted to be there for her. And if she felt like there was a way to mutually beneficial her, there's nothing mutual beneficial about that relationship if it comes to numbers.
She's like, I paid rent, I paid the bills. I'm like, bitch, you contributed $1,000 to my $4,300 rent. You didn't pay for parking, you didn't pay for cable, you didn't even stock toilet paper, and you had sex in my bed. And she offered me $1,000 towards my rent and covered the $67 in utilities for February, which is the shortest month of the year, as we all know, I was like, sure, she's gonna be out by March. Then it was like, can I stay again for $1,000? Can I stay again for another $1,000? Can I stay again? By June, I was like, bitch, we are done with this apartment. I'm going back to the West Side. You need to figure something out.
She also discussed her friendship with Ariana.
She says that they were just acquaintances at best.
That's funny, because our Instagrams are filled with us hanging. Like, what are you talking about? I knew that they were super close. I mean, always. She was over at their house all the time. Like, how could she even say that? That is so disrespectful.
Because in her mind, we know why she was over
there. Okay, but also, like, that is so f***ing shady. And I don't even like to cuss.
I think she said that to make herself feel better about her actions. It's like, oh, you're a sick
I would have never reached out to her had I known that that's what she was gonna go and do.
Yeah.
I feel like her saying that we weren't that close of friends is just like a f***ed up thing to say, because that just shows that you didn't care about me. But you're like openly admitting it, right? Because in my reality, we were very close friends. I mean, stayed at my house when I was out of town. Both of us were out of town. To like I let her dog stay there, spent holidays together, we would travel together. There's really no world in which we weren't close unless you were just being fake the whole time.
When the breakup happened back then, I mean, like, Raquel was the it girl, right? And there was a newfound sisterhood with Sheena. There was a newfound sisterhood with Ariana as well. You know, sure, she was closer to Tom because, you know, she was sucking his pee-pee. But for her to downgrade the friendship, right, with Ariana, it sounds a lot like when Tom downgrades his friendship with me.
I also think this person whose podcast she did is like fully not understanding the history and her and the dynamics of this group, this show, y'all's relationship, everything. And so she's coming from very wrong place and getting very bad advice.
Well, then truthfully, the podcaster... Mm-hmm. whose podcast she went on, then had like follow-up episodes where she was like all pissed that she was getting backlash for the episode because people were like, you didn't know anything about the subject, but yet you're interviewing Rachel on it. And then she was all pissed that she was getting backlash. And she's like, yeah, I don't understand. Like, it's like, does no one learn from Howie Mandel?
If she actually really does want to move on, then, you know, maybe she should stop talking about me on a weekly basis. Stop talking about the show. You know what? I take that back. Girl's gotta eat. You know what I mean? She's gotta make some money.
Right.
So
once you get her bag, yeah.
Get your bag, I guess.
Do you think she made some money?
No.
That is crazy to me that someone let her do that without getting paid.
It just was rich and ironic to hear like her talking about how like Rachel's getting exploited, yet she's literally doing the same thing.
Right. 100%. Wow.
Lala shares her pregnancy journey on Vanderpump Rules. Kristen, tell me about sharing your own pregnancy journey on The Valley.
It was actually harder than I thought it would be because I know Brittany's standpoint on it and all the support I've gotten from Brittany. And Luke and I are, we have the best communication. So we have talked this through wholeheartedly on when to start. We had to go to even to see my OB before we truly did start. He made sure that his swimmers were swimming and that it was going to be no one else's fault. Luke also knew when we started dating, there was a slight possibility it wasn't going to work out for me because we weren't going to just get pregnant because of my age, because Luke's a lot younger than I am. And he was standing by me regardless. But there was a lot of judgment from Jax.
It's not like you're getting a dog with your boyfriend. You're getting a child.
Like, who are you to say if I'm ready or what kind of mom I would be?
Are you mentally there to have a child right now?
I've been mentally there for a very long time.
Kristen went through a lot, obviously, after Vanderpump Rules, right? She kind of, you know, financially, mentally, physically, emotionally went through a lot, moved into an apartment, and I think she was just kind of, in my opinion, rushing the situation. I think she was, you know, not together long enough with Luke because she was literally trying, 2 weeks prior, trying to get pregnant with Alex. This is no joke. 2 weeks prior, trying to get pregnant with Alex. So then 2 weeks go by, she has this new boyfriend, which is great, but then she's like, I'm trying to get pregnant. I'm like, well, wait a minute. 2 weeks ago, you were trying to get pregnant with Alex. Are you just...
Wait, but not like right away when she first started dating
Yeah,
Luke.
They were trying to get pregnant like really right away. Yeah. Yeah, and I was concerned. You got no job. You live in an apartment with four dogs. Your boyfriend is probably in town twice a month. You got a newborn baby who needs health insurance, who needs to be fed three times a day. Kristen doesn't even feed herself three times a day.
Why does it ever matter to Jax what everyone else is doing? If Jax spent more time focusing on his own relationship, his own marriage, then he probably would hopefully stop focusing on everyone else, and his wife would get the attention she deserves. And I think we've seen that for many moons.
I think, and I think you guys can agree, as much as we love Kristen, I just don't think she was there yet to take on a project this size when she was still working on herself.
What's the youngest you can take a baby to Burning Man?
You know what's gonna happen? She's gonna get pregnant, all this is gonna go down, and who's gonna end up, we're gonna be end up called over, helping out, which is fine, but I just feel like she's gonna rely on all her friends and be like, man, I wish he was still here. There was no, you know, there's nothing in writing. There's nothing like, what if he just takes off? Like, you're not married.
Everyone seemed to have the opinion that this was the right way to go, yet we see all these people getting divorced. And I'm like, okay, why involve the government in our choice to start a family? It's kind of how I'm looking at marriage. Yeah, we do both want that someday, and we want it when we feel like things have stabilized. But with Kristen's timeline, her body clock, a baby's kind of more the priority. I know that she will be a fantastic mother, and I know that we'll both be dedicated to that child no matter what.
Luke and I were working and are still working really hard on our fertility and having a child and figuring out what our next steps in our next 5 years look like. And what I've noticed within that journey of truly trying to get pregnant, it was like my circle needs to become a lot smaller. And if there's this outside noise that doesn't make sense for the life that I'm going to continue to live, it made it a little bit easier.
Let's talk about apples.
When we got in the studio that day and they're like, so what's been going on in your life? What do you want to write a song about? And I told them a story about a betrayal in our friend group. And they were like, great, let's write a song about it. And that's how Apples came about. It gives James some more songs to add to his DJ set list.
Apples is one of my most favorite
Apples
songs.
Apples, one of the songs?
Even Ocean.
But
the
like,
first word my kid can spell is apples.
Yeah.
Tom Sandoval didn't like it.
Tom's just gonna be collateral damage in this. I don't give a shit. I gotta put my track out.
Keep cashing in on my misery.
Oh, God.
Sorry. Can I just laugh for a second? Okay, I'm done. I'm sorry.
It's just, like, I asked Sheena to quit riding this into the ground.
I get, like, you're doing podcasts for money, but, like, at a certain point, it's, like, too much.
Like, please, you know what I mean? Like, have some f***ing respect.
Once we found out that Ali passed away, I totally dialed it back in. I was like, okay, we're not going to keep this as an ongoing topic on the podcast, but it was just so easy at the time, and every guest I had on wanted to talk about it, I would be asked about it, and it was obviously a hot topic for several months, but there came a time where I thought it was too much, and I stopped. However, we already started writing Apples, and it was a really good song, so I was like, I'm still going to put out the song.
It's done, it's over, please, be respectful. You've gotten all your hits in, and then some, and then some, and then some. So, like, can you, like, get some new material and please stop like putting shit out at the expense of me.
You know, right after the podcast came out, he was obviously very hurt, heated, whatever, about that. But as I was putting the song out, despite that timing, I thought he would maybe be at a place where he could laugh about it, maybe want to cover it, one of his shows. I thought he would see the humor in my clever writing. He did not.
Keep cashing in on my misery.
Oh, God.
He still says that today. Mm-hmm.
I know I did this to myself, but, like, I'm still dealing with it. I have to deal with it from everybody else. Like, we were friends, trying to be friends at this point. Like, it's not cute. And, like, you can write about other sh** in your life.
I think it's safe to say that no one milked it more than Sheena.
I'm sorry, bro. Tom's getting upset with Fastball. Raquel was, again, telling everyone that she, like, dismissing everyone else's friendships. I encouraged the diss track to go out. She wanted to like, get it perfect. I was like, crack it today. Like, honey, this is part four. Call it part four, drop it today. And then her next song now is Boy Crazy. Is Max gonna get upset for calling her boys crazy?
With Sheena, I mean, I think we all know she's very boy crazy.
It was her expressing herself.
There's no way she was still outraged like 4 months in. But then I'm thinking like it, she could have, like, but also she was making a ton of money. Yeah, good for her. But at least behind the scenes come to you and be like, listen, dude, I don't hold a grudge anymore, but I'm cleaning up. So I'm gonna keep this performance going on.
Yeah, maybe like tell me before like James plays it. Give me a heads up so I can like prepare myself.
It's fair game when Ariana's not upset about it.
Absolutely. That happened in our friend group on our show where outside of Ariana, I am very much affected by this because these were my closest friends. These were my people. So I did feel very hurt. I hated what happened to her. And I wanted to write a song about what my experience during that time was. And, you know, it's a good song. So I don't feel bad for it at all.
Ariana, you heard from Logan, who overheard Tom talking to Lisa, that he was having second thoughts about the house.
It's frustrating because selling the house was the plan in March, and this all could have been done.
He's now having second thoughts, and he might want to sell the house, which is what I wanted from the beginning.
I could have been living somewhere else. This all could have been, you know, sold, split down the middle, 50-50, call it a day, the end. Because there's really nothing that needs to be done to the house to sell it. Not a damn thing. The fact that we're, you know, months and months later and still dealing with it because, speaking of dum-dums, didn't realize that selling the house was the best idea, which I could have told him and had been saying from the f***ing jump, and guess what? I'm right. Like, shocker. No shit, now you're having second thoughts. Because then you only just now realized what it's going to actually take in order to buy me out of the house. Don't just hand me cash. Like, you have to refinance to get my name off of the mortgage and the HELOC loan that I signed off on to approve for you. When you do that, you lose your 2021 refinance interest rate. And now you have to pay 2023 inflation interest rate. And you didn't fucking think about that before, did you? And now it's like he's realizing that it's gonna take a lot more than just handing me a check and I pack a fucking backpack and leave to make this a thing.
Well, because she took so long, at the time, I was in a little bit of a better financial situation. But since she took so long, like, my situation changed.
I took a while to give a counteroffer because I was doing the due diligence of making it a legit counteroffer where all of these things were taken into account.
I got the sofa, I got the side table, chairs,
I know, it's almost everything is yours.
Mirror.
You have to take these things into account. You can't just, like, again, the clip from the first episode.
What I think is psychotic is that he wants to buy me out and stay here.
Keyword wants. Yeah, I want to win the lottery. You know?
I want $1 million.
Yeah. He wanted to, but there's no way he could have. So every person on the internet who wanted to come at me for saying that that was psychotic, it was psychotic. And it's
why won't you let him, girl?
Yeah, like, save your mental health.
Who cares about the materialistic items when it comes to your happiness?
I'm like, bitch, I'll worry about my mental health.
I was very excited when it was time to, like, pick the sperm. I was like, this is, like, the funnest shopping I've ever done.
The most expensive, but the funnest.
Billy has it all. He is tall at 6'2", with lean athletic build. He's kind. He's got his master's.
In art history.
One of his biggest passions in life is cooking.
And you don't cook.
So okay, we're not shopping for the man, you guys, just the sperm.
There was a lot of, like, consideration before I got pregnant with Ocean. The conversation that was had beforehand was, like, very beautiful. So I wanted to bring, like, that warmth into me bringing a baby into the world in an unconventional way.
Well, now when you look back, it's probably sexier than sleeping with Randall.
100.
I can't even think. Like, I literally sit there and I'm like, what? Like, how did you do that? And my mind is like a trauma response. Going the donor route and how this baby is conceived was much more pleasurable
exactly.
than how Ocean was conceived.
Exactly.
It was way bigger. Being in Ariana's rooms, being f***ed with a cheese grater would be better than having sex with my ex again. Feel free to keep all of this in.
What was it about the donor that you chose that made him win out over the others?
When you're looking for your donor, there's like a really large profile on them. He said he was extremely close to his dad and wrote the reasoning. And then what he wanted to tell his future children, because, you know, he could go out and have a family of his own one day. I'm the only person who has just his goods, but, like, he could go have kids on his own. And it was just, like, what he wanted to tell his kids, it just, like, hit me. It just felt right. Like, okay, this is the donor. I also liked the fact that he had, like, green eyes, wavy, blondish hair. It didn't hurt that he was 6'2". And his voice, because you get to hear the voice, I'm like, I may have to go find this boy.
But it is good to have the same qualities as you, you know? Like, that's great.
Yeah, and, like, genetics are a bitch, yeah. right? People come from the same parents and look totally different. Yeah. But I'm just like, this child is already going to have such a weird... And we live in LA, so maybe not. It could be totally, like, acceptable and normal. But yeah. the outside world is funny. Like, mm-hmm. anything out of the norm is really picked on. So I didn't want this baby to face anything more than they're already going to have to face, you know, and explain. Like, where's your dad?
Ugh. That's the one thing that I have not conquered yet, is what I will say to that question. Mm-hmm. But I think the one thing that we have to stick to is, like, I wanted you here so badly. I'm not going to get emotional. Hold on. That I was really willing to do anything. And, like, you have a lot of love and you are well thought out. And, like, the world is a better place because you're in it now.
Oh, you're making me cry too. Gosh. And that's going to be beautiful to hear.
Yeah.
It'll be okay.
And, you know, he's going to have, like, my older brother is a fantastic father. Mm-hmm. My little brother, Easton, who you guys are more familiar with, is unbelievable. So I highly doubt that that question's going to come into the mix. And I was talking to my mom. I'm like, yeah, but what about, like, father-daughter things? And my mom's like, when's the last time you've heard, like, in LA, like, we're doing a daddy-daughter dance?
Easton, like, could also go with her.
100%.
You know?
Yeah, Easton is very excited about all of this.
Your family's awesome, so.
Thanks, babe.
You got this.
And so, now I'm over by you guys.
I know. Somebody's coming to the valley. Which I love.
James, you and Allie have a conversation about your future.
I mean, down the road, marriage, children, like, you know, I wouldn't want that with anyone else.
I see that future with you and I see that, like, kids with you, and then it's like, it scares me when you say, like, oh yeah, I'm not ready.
I mean, Ali is my best friend and I love her more than anything. So, I mean, let's face it, I kind of thought at like 20 by 30, I'd probably have a kid, but I've said it once, I'll say it again. But no, I'm happy where we are right now. I feel like everything in life really happens for a reason, and the clock of life is what teaches you, makes you the man that you are in the present moment, right? It makes you ready for it. So I know that when it happens, I'll be ready for it, hopefully.
I'd say two people have to be on the same page. Mm-hmm. You can't force somebody to want to have kids when they're not ready. Mm-hmm. Everybody has a different time.
Daniel and I were on completely opposite pages when it comes to having kids.
I wanted to have kids right away.
I wanted to travel and see the world and have time together as a married couple.
She said, I want to wait 2 years. And I said, I don't want to wait, but happy wife, happy life.
And then after 2 years, we were both having so much fun, doing so much travel, we decided to wait 2 more years.
I was like, looking back, so thankful that we didn't have kids at that point. It's not as easy to go to the Maldives for 3 weeks when you have 3 children.
And then when we started trying, it didn't happen, and we were shocked because he wanted kids right away, I wanted to wait. Finally, we're on the same page, and then we couldn't get pregnant, but. And then we made up for last time. We had 3 under 2, and it was just wild.
No matter where you are, just be on the same page of, hey, these are things that we wanna do together. Let's enjoy this time together that I learned from her, and I'm glad that I did.
And we just got the house in April, so that's coming up to not even a year in the house yet, right? Yeah, we've joked and been like, the guest room's gonna be a baby room, like, before we know, you know what I mean? And it's like, but our parents haven't even stayed in it 3 times each yet. So, like, we're just giving it some time. Like, let it actually become a guest room and let us actually fall into it. Yeah, I'm not putting pressure on it, obviously, but we just, like, whenever we talk about it, it's never an argument, you know? It's always just like, that'd be fun, right? Or if we see like a little like kid or something, I don't know. You know how it is. But then we see vacation spots and it's like, oh, Ibiza though. We couldn't go to Ibiza really. But like, and then I'm like, oh, well, I went to Ibiza. But like, I was already like 8 years old at that point.
We took Isabella to Capri for 4 weeks when she was one year old.
Some of the best advice I've ever heard is kids are portable.
These are like the best days of my life, literally right now. I mean, I'm traveling, playing the biggest crowds, beautiful, huge crowds, like best clubs in the world, like Marquee to Live to Fontainebleau to f***ing Miami. You know what I mean? I mean, it'd be a lot harder. I honestly cry leaving Hippie right now. So it's like leaving him for 4 days. I get back Sunday and I'm like, ah, I'm so happy. I couldn't even imagine leaving a baby. Really couldn't. I wouldn't. That's the thing, I wouldn't leave my baby because I know I'm gonna be the best dad, right? So it's like, I'm not gonna be touring like this when I have a kid. So.
I think do what you guys are doing right now, and I see it. You guys are both living your best versions of yourselves.
Yeah.
Right? Do that, enjoy that. And then when that time of your life comes around, it'll come around, and when it happens, you'll be ready for that. But having a kid, it's like you said, it stops a lot of things. It's a selfless thing to do, and yeah. I didn't realize that the first time
around. Ali's just getting started. She's really doing amazing things with her readings, and she's, like, inspired to do new little projects every day, right? So I see her growing, and she's, like, 28 right now. I mean, I bet by 30 she's going to be like, let's have a baby. No. And I'll be like, no, not yet. Just kidding. I'll be like, yeah.
Ali said that Lala called you miserable.
I don't know why Lala would say I'm miserable. I don't really think that's an accurate description.
And I've just heard, like, when we were at paintball, it just sounded like you're a little, like, miserable and getting upset about a lot of things very easily.
Who said that?
Lala.
I think I've been more stressed out than usual, I think. But yeah, miserable isn't the word. I haven't been miserable in, like, a year since everyone was, you know, like, giving me shit for, like, the whole Tom and Rachel thing. But also if I have to deal with, you know, one of my friends who's, I don't understand why they're hanging out with Joe and, you know, getting coffee with her and then fails to like mention it to me after, you know, she got mad that I forgot to like mention to her about Max. And I don't know, but to just categorize somebody as miserable, like that is like the descriptive, mm-hmm. like of that person is like, what? Like, yeah. Could I not have bad moments or bad days or bad that just to, like, be like, she's miserable? It's like, well, you're angry. I don't know what to say. Is that fair? No, because you're not.
Right.
And I'm not. So that's not, like, it's not a fair thing to say.
I vividly remember not saying the word miserable, right? I, like, actively tried to steer clear of that word.
I'm miserable and getting upset about things easily? Who said that?
Lala.
I know she's been unhappy for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Katie seems very unhappy to me. And when we have not been filming, she has said to me that she didn't picture her life this way. She did not see herself a year and a half, 2 years out of her relationship, still being single and it being this hard to like find good dudes. So I think that that also kind of like weighs on her. Like she wants a companion, but she forgets that men in these streets are scrubs.
I also feel like if in any given week, one day you're at a party and you're having a blast and then the next day you have to deal with some stressful shit about our sandwich shop, like that day you're probably not gonna be as smiley as you were the day that you're at the party, because that's just the nature of life and different things that you have to deal with. So
I mean, I always am kind of like reactive to the way, you know, people are responding to me. So take that into account. Lala.